Yeah. We've got a, there's a labor board set up under the new labor law, but it's mandatory. That labor be on it. We're on most of the traditional boards. Ones that are non-traditional, the ones we're not on and we should be on.
That's what I meant. Are you on any of those that, or, you know, or just, or are you just on those that are considered appropriate for organized labor?
I think for the most part, we're on those that are considered appropriate. Just a few months ago, the governor appointed a task force on education. And there were no labor people on it. I called and complained about it. And they did put a labor person on it.
When you call, do you call him or someone on his staff?
Usually someone on his staff.
Do you see him on any sort of regular basis?
No. I'm sure that I want to see him or any other governor on a regular sort of basis. It depends on what you mean. I saw him regularly during the session of the legislature. It was easy to get to.
You had no problems that you
No.
didn't want to?
No. No, but I just don't like to be close to those guys. I'm not sure they want to be close to them anyway. Most of them are afraid of us. But I have been able to see bumpers as often as I want to see him, or have to make appointments with him for other people who want to see him.
Do you have more access to him than you did Rockefeller or Faubus?
No. Except with bumpers, you would go see him more. Because you thought he might be more sympathetic with what you were talking to him about. And
is he more sensitive?
And he is, that's right. He is. And he was. Not on everything, but on some things.
What would be some examples of the things he was and wasn't?
Well, the thing that impresses me about him is that I think he's very, very smart. He came out of the election and had to go. We have a peculiar situation where we go right into the legislative session in January, the year in which the governor is elected. So the governor generally is not very much prepared for what's going to happen. Now, prior, fortunately, has got a lag time. But Bumpers had a hard race with Rockefeller. The race that Pryor will have is just token. And so Bumpers went into office not being able to do too much work on what the hell government was all about. But he very, very quickly picked up on how you operate a government. Each day he became more and more familiar with the operations. We had the one thing that impressed me about his feeling on issues and his grasp of issues was this home rule business that we talked about a minute ago in the Constitution. Everybody is for home rule, but we have certain ideas about home rule, what should be in a home rule bill. And Bumpers have talked in his election campaign about how he was for home rule. We didn't know what the hell he meant by it. And when he became governor, a home rule bill became an administration bill. We had previously told him that we had some ideas about it. And discussed them with him briefly. And the bill that was introduced gave unlimited home rule to the cities. We went to see and told him that what our objections were. Number one, we objected to the unlimited feature, which would permit sales tax, city sales tax, would permit city payroll tax. And we explained our position, he understood our position, and he agreed that it was the correct position. For example, he, like most governors, wanted to preserve the sales tax for the state, for education. One of the reasons that I recall he cited. And so he told the guy, he said he would talk to the author of the bill. The bill was redrafted, and on his request. And it still wasn't accepted to us, because it still had some features in it relating to unlimited power that we rejected. So we went to see him again, and again he understood what the problem was and had agreed with what the solution should be. So finally what happened is that myself and our lawyer and the city manager here in Little Rock, who was the prime mover of the bill and the author, sat down for about 2-3 hours and drafted a bill that we thought would have the necessary safeguards in it. The final result was this bill. The governor supported it. And what it does is give the city's home rule, but specifically says no sales tax, no city sales tax. Specifically says no city payroll tax, but permits an income tax that is piggybacked to our state income tax, which is moderately progressive. And that's the law now. Very few of the cities have taken advantage of income tax. I guess they think it's too progressive or won't pass. But anyhow, on that issue, we were able to talk to him, and he listened and understood, and I think basically he agreed with what our position was. And this has happened with a couple of other things, a couple of other issues. Now, there have been some that, when it comes to strict labor issues, he's harder, much harder to reach collective bargaining for public employees, or using union labor on certain jobs, that sort of thing. But I think he's very smart, generally. He at least tries to understand problems of working people. And he keeps himself flexible so he can change his position or eventually come up with a final position, like he did in this last campaign. And I was interested in the comment he made after the election, after he came back from the Seattle Governor's Conference, that he doesn't like to talk about too many issues, because if you get a fixed position, you get locked in and you can't change your mind. Based on the facts that you find out later. He knows very little about, I think, about the operation of the federal government and the bureaucracy up there, all the rest of the problems he's going to face when he gets there. But he's smart enough, I think, to pick up very quickly on issues.
Did labor support him in that race?
No.
Supported Fulbright, that's true.
No, we're neutral. Nowhere neutral.
Well, you supported Pryor.
Wait a minute, you're mixing up the races.
I know, but in the gubernatorial race, you supported
Pryor. We endorsed Pryor.
But in the senatorial race, you were neutral?
Stayed neutral.
Let me ask you this about Pryor.
I like Bumpus, but we had some good reasons in favor of Fulbright.
Did labor money go into either campaign, or did it go into both campaigns?
Which one?
In the Senate race.
Yeah, one, both. Labor split, I would say most of them supported Bumpus. Wouldn't surprise me if 75-80% of the working people voted for Bumpus. Some of the unions, the rule is, it takes 2/3 to endorse. For whatever reasons there were, neither candidate could get 2/3. In the absence of an endorsement, the internationals can remain neutral like we do, or they can endorse and support whatever they want to. What happened is that the public endorsements that were made for Bumpers, 6 or 8 unions endorsed Bumpers. couple publicly endorsed Fulbright. But some, I know, were quietly for Fulbright. But we're split between the two of them.
Was there a majority for one over the other? Something less than 2/3?
Mm. Well, it's a very, very long story, but what happened is that Fulbright had done some early work with labor, which worked out to his advantage. There were some unions that had keep separate voting records. Separate, that is, from the NLCIO voting record. So those unions, like Fulbright, Bunker's, you didn't get in, of course, till the end, the very last minute, and got a late start. Word got out that one labor leader was quoted as saying it looked like Fulbright would have a majority at the convention, but not 2/3 vote. Then Bumpers began campaigning among the labor movement. They both campaigned hard for our endorsement. And by the time we reached the convention, the union people who were for Bumpers were interested in blocking an endorsement for Fulbright. People who were for Fulbright felt, I think, just prior to the convention that they couldn't get an endorsement for Fulbright. They would be satisfied with neutrality. We have a complicated process of endorsement in Arkansas. Some of the states you'll visit with don't have. But in any event, there were some pre-convention activity in terms of interviewing candidates. And when the pro-Bumpers people came to the convention, they thought they had more support than they had realized, that they felt that they were in a position to block an endorsement for Fulbright, could go on and get 2/3 vote for Bumpers. And so the Fulbright people were just trying to hold their own and have the convention vote neutrality. And then at the convention itself, first step is the board, the executive committee. The executive committee, by majority vote, voted neutrality. It was a safe majority. There wasn't anywhere near 2/3. Then the second step is a larger committee. The first step was a show of hands, so it counted noses. I think it was 12-7 for neutrality. The second step was a much larger group, and that carried by a voice vote for neutrality. The motion was for neutrality. The pro-Bumpers people thought that they would be able to get a 2/3 vote. Automatically, when the board makes a decision, this decision goes to the floor of the convention. And so the motion that was put on the floor of the convention was for neutrality. Bumpers people were fighting to defeat the motion, thinking if it were defeated, then they could go on and get a 2/3. And I suppose had the motion been defeated, they might have picked up some support towards a Bumpers endorsement, but they never would have gotten 2/3. In any event, the motion for a challenge passed. So we are then neutral.
Do you take a active role in legislative races?
Yeah.
To what extent?
Do you mean this particular race, or?
No, I mean state legislative races.
Oh, yeah. We do it through our central bodies. We have 13 central bodies, and they do the interviewing, and they recommend endorsement.
How about?
We support their decisions almost every time.
In how many races are you, were you involved?
Well, I suppose this time we're involved in 20 to 25 House races and three Senate races, something like that.
This was in the primary?
Yeah, this is completely recently completed.
And how many of your people won?
We, in the three Senate races we're involved in, we won all three. In the House races, I already figured it out. We won a majority of them, but not nearly as much as we had won 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we won 80% or 85%. This time, I'm thinking we won maybe 55 or 60% of the races we're involved in. By involved in, I mean races where there's a labor council which makes an endorsement, or in the absence of a labor council, the local unions might make an endorsement, or in the absence of either one, we don't make an endorsement, but we might give a candidate some money.
Do you give money to candidates who get endorsements? Does one follow the other?
Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. We know that doesn't necessarily follow. Candidate has to, we don't voluntarily give candidates any money. And this time, we, there were some candidates we did not give money to. In this area, the Labor Council, I think, won 5 out of 6 races. House, and the one, there was one Senate race here where they made an endorsement.
How about manpower?
And, well, it's hard to tell what kind of manpower is available. The international unions, they all have staff. Sometimes they assign staff. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes local unions, the officers will work hard on the race, others won't. There's no set manpower quota. A lot of times it depends on the union itself. Some unions are more active than others. The union may be particularly interested, like one union was especially interested in the Senate race and supported Bumpers. And they've got 3-4 staff people in Arkansas. I would suspect that the 3-4 staff people worked almost full time. Depends. And there's no way of judging how many manpower hours are put in. No way.
Labor taking a position on Mills this year?
Not yet. No. He had no opposition in the primary. We'll have him in general. And we will have a general election convention. Usually we have 3 conventions each political year. We have a primary convention, a runoff convention, and a general election convention. 2 years ago, we had all 3 and had almost 1,000 people at these various conventions. And I think it gives us a broad base of support so the candidates can say that Bill Becker is dictating what candidate you should support. At the last convention this year, we had 600 people attend, which are our largest one we've ever had. It's kind of hard for a candidate to go back and get the endorsement and say Bill Becker did this or Bill Becker did that, which is what they always try to do.
Do you view this challenge to Mills as a serious thing?
No. Mills does. And he should. Barbara Petty is a very fine, articulate young woman. And I suspect we'll get 25, 30, 35% of the vote. If there's more information that comes out about Mills' money from milk and from breweries and from whoever, he may lose a few more percentage points. But she can't win. That I
We're told that the prior had some unusual coalition support in a sense. You had the blacks, you had, it was supposed to be the old business leadership.
Yeah.
And then at some point, this is going to cause some problem as governor. Is that the interests of Stevens and organized labor, Cooper and so on, at some point?
Well, actually, what better reason to vote for a candidate than the fact that he has business and labor on his side? As far as we have to reconcile the differences, if there are any differences, and make a decision on what he thinks is the best thing for him to do. With Stevens, for example, the Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company, he was in the legislature and had a 50% right voting record. With Stevens himself, there's some other people who supported Pryor, who we may not get along with, but most of the labor haters are on the FUBS side, the real labor haters. I'm sure that with Stevens and some of the other business types have supported candidates that we've supported in the past. I don't think there's anything unusual about it. Bob has tried to make it look unusual. When McClellan was able to do it successfully, the fact is, Pryor had a lot of business people supporting him, but he was never able to make that point. He should have made that point. He should have made a point that 20 or 25% of his money came from professional and business people, and he had a lot of business people on his side. It did happen when he ran against McClellan. What happened in this race is that some of the old-time FABA supporters, like Whit Stevens or John Cooper, or one or two of the other people, simply figured that Pryor was a winner. They couldn't beat him, so they might as well get with a winner. It's a very practical decision that they made. Most of the labor haters are on FABA's side. The business type labor haters. Whit Stevens is not a labor hater. I wish they were all like Whit Stevens. He does deal with the union, and they get along fairly well. Arkansas Louisiana Gas Company is organized. He owns a couple of cement plants. Those are organized. I think we could live with guys like Whit Stevens. There's some guys that we just can't live with. It was just a device that Thomas was using. It didn't work. It shouldn't have worked. Any candidate we support can have business support. There's just no way. I'm sure that Clinton had business support. This young 27-year-old just won for Congress. The kind of business support we hope they don't have is that kind of business support is so goddamn anti-union, they go blind when they hear the word organized labor, and some of them do. They get furious. Some of the people who are telling bumpers that I was an ogre are these kinds of people, and so are the ones who are telling prior early that Bill Becker was a son of a bitch. When we supported bumpers, I'm sure he had business people on his side. When we supported, Pryor had a lot of business people directly on his campaign against McClellan. That has no relevancy. There's a candidate who can get elected unless he has some business support. And we understand that. And I don't think there's a candidate. A candidate has a hell of a hard time getting elected without some labor support, whether it's total labor support or labor support that's split off.
What percentage of labor AFL-CIO membership do you estimate supply?
Probably about as a population as a whole, 15-20%, something like that. Same, something like that. And there's nothing unusual for blacks and labor to work together. That's perfectly normal. Has been for the last 10 years.
Is there any move toward how much move is it toward organizing public employees in Arkansas?
Well, it's growing. It's slow, but it's growing. It's on its way. I don't know how far away it is. we're the only state that does not have a teacher's local.
There's no AFT has no locals here.
Only state.
How about sanitation workers?
Sanitation workers are organized here in Little Rock and in Pine Bluff and maybe in Hot Springs. And I believe in Fort Smith.
Which union?
SCME. The latest development in public employment has been the highway department. In the last year or so, it organized a local union.
Affiliated with someone?
Yeah, laborers. There are two unions in the public employment field. SCME and laborers who are only in the highway department. And that's been one of our contentions with bumpers. Two highway commissioners he appointed are anti-union.
Two out of how many?
There's five or seven.
How about hospital workers?
There was an effort made several years ago in a little town south of here, but nothing came up. There are rumblings. We hear rumblings from the social workers, sometimes from the university people, sometimes from the teachers. I visited with some teachers this morning, but nothing yet, but it's coming. The policemen have begun to organize. They formed a local in Pine Bluff. Firemen have always had local unions.
Is that the strongest group of public employees in terms of unionization, firemen, in Arkansas?
I suppose in terms of percentage of the of their occupation, yes, but they're small. The largest union is SCME with a couple thousand members, 15. They're only an isolated place. They're in state government, several agencies.
Do you see this the next area of major growth in union?
Well, it's the number one legislative goal of the state of LCIO, adopted by convention resolution. We came fairly close to passing a collective bargaining bill in the last session of legislature. Cleared the Senate and didn't make it through the House.
With a no strike provision?
It contained a no strike provision. No strike provision probably would be acceptable to those unions if there were appropriate safeguards on grievance procedure and arbitration. But I think it did contain excluded teachers and law enforcement people also. But other than that, it was a damn good bill that cleared the Senate. And some of our best friends said that labor had gotten enough that, in that session, so they didn't want to work for this. If they worked for it in the House, we might have been able to pass it. If we had had some active
support. Did Bumpers support?
No, he didn't. And the word we hear is that he told people he didn't want to see it on his desk. But that's just hearsay.
Well, how will Pryor, how do you expect Pryor to react to that legislation?
Pryor's position, position is not a hell of a lot different than Bumper's, except if anything, it's slightly better, not much better, but slightly better. He at least is upset that the highway management people don't answer the highway union locals' letters and won't meet with. Absolutely ignore that. He thinks that's wrong. He has said publicly he'll not initiate a collective bargaining law. He's also said that he'd like to get the parties together to see if something can be worked out.
Is labor,
we'll try that.
Is labor support of Pryor that they've been primarily support against his opposition or for him?
Both.
His record in Congress then was basically positive in so far as labor was concerned?
Well, it was basically positive, but it's in the 50% range, which isn't too goddamn positive. When he was in the House, he was a representative of the House for three terms, and had a damn good voting record, excellent voting record. from his own county and then moved to Congress and ran 54%, 55%, 56%, which is not a heck of a lot different than Mills or Thornton or Alexander. Reason, very simple reason we supported him against McClellan was because of McClellan. We wanted Bumpers to run against McClellan, he wouldn't do it. Bumpers probably at that time would have been our first choice. And he was thinking about it, but decided not to run. And then you didn't have much of a choice this time either. Now, we did endorse Pryor. We did support Pryor when he first ran for Congress. I'm not even sure we endorsed him. We may have stayed neutral. But most of the unions in South Arkansas supported him. And the labor thing became an issue when Pryor's first race for Congress was raised by Richard Arnold. One of Bumper's number one people now. He was running for second time for Congress and lost. He lost to Pryor, but only after a runoff and charged Pryor with being controlled by labor. Walter Ruther, Jimmy Hoffa, all the rest of them. Pryor handled very well, and what it did was solidify whatever labor support Pryor had and helped defeat Richard Arnold. And he's told us since that he'll never do that again. Richard Arnold never run like that again. Then he ran against, Arnold ran against Ray Thornton. We supported Ray Thornton. Ray Thornton won without a runoff by 5,000 votes. But Pryor, labor people like Pryor, they kind of identify with him. His voting record isn't all that hot. We hope he makes a good run.
What sort of chance do you think Clinton has against Hammersmith?
Fairly good. You know, very, very attractive young man. If he can reach the people in that district, he'll win. He can get the money, he can go on television, if he can shake enough hands, if he can get around, he'll beat him. He's that good with people, and he can relate to people. He's here again. Very, 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 very smart. Really a bright guy. And he can relate to people in spite of his background. Rhodes Scholar, Yale Law School. But hasn't hurt him a bit. Probably has helped. Hammersmith will be very tough. Hammersmith probably is, next to McClellan, one of the most popular politicians in the state. But I think Hammersmith's vulnerable. He supported Nixon. His voting record, if it's laid out, will show that he doesn't really represent the people in the 3rd District. I don't know how much Clinton will talk about issues. He's been talking about them some, but he's not talked about many more issues than Bumper's talked about. Bumper's one. Hammersmith doesn't have any kind of personality. But the Hammersmith support, whatever he's got among the average voter, comes from sending him seed catalogs, the birthday announcements. He's a very good guy. He does a fine job of answering mail. I think Clinton's got a fairly good chance. And I think even if Clinton loses, can be very much alive in Arkansas politics. He can go in several directions because he's impressed a lot of people.
Among all the Arkansas politicians that you've met and known, where would you place Bumpers?
What do you mean?
Well, some people tell us that he's a super politician. best that they ever see on the state, so, no weaknesses, no faults.
Fathers were the best.
Fathers.
Fathers hate that he was the best. Nobody will ever touch him, including fathers.
What happened to fathers?
I think he let the racial issue get the best of him. I suppose he really believes that. And he probably determined if it's not that he actually believes it, that he must have determined that this was the mood of the people.
If he doesn't believe it, did he in effect get trapped about?
I think he probably did. I think he made a terrible mistake. I think Fathers could have been elected in 1970. Very possible. I think it's even possible that between Bumpers and Favas, when it came down the runoff, if Favas handled himself well, then Labor would have been neutralized, or maybe even have endorsed Favas. There were 8 candidates in the race, and I had 3 or 4 in my own mind who I thought would be all right, and Favas was one of them. But as he campaigned, he got wilder and wilder. Irresponsible. What caused that, I don't know. I guess it's the act of a desperate candidate. Favas in his heyday was the best anywhere in this state and probably almost any goddamn state in the union.
What made him so good?
What made him so good?
What was it about him that made him good? Made him effective?
I think he was good with people. As Bumpers is good with people, but Favas was a real charmer in his heyday, and he never, as I said earlier, never kept a grudge. Would work with people, labor and management, whatever the segment of the population. And in those 2 years, I think he even somewhat related to black people, 64, 66. Bumpers never enjoyed much of a black vote. Against Rockville, he got 15%, something like that. And in other races, he never has enjoyed much black support. Black people are not especially enamored of Bumpers. They don't think he's done a hell of a lot, except tokens. Bumpers is good, but Favas, I think, would talk more about issues than Bumpers. I have to rate Bumpers number 2.
How do you rate him as a potential vice? How do you rate him as a potential national candidate?
Oh, for what position?
They are for 2.
They're in for 2. I don't rate him at all. I don't know who you could couple it with. Where he would add to the ticket. I think the guy who's president is going to want a vice president from, if they want the South. It's the assumption they want someone from the South. And I'm not sure that's a safe assumption. But assuming they want someone from the South, they're going to go to Florida or maybe Georgia. They're going to go to where the electoral votes are. And we don't have any electoral votes. I think Askew is just as attractive, just a good politician, as is Bumpers. Maybe even better. I know he's from the FLC, I was at conventions in Florida. He has gone to those conventions. He talks to the FLC, I don't know, the delegates. They are very impressed with him. Besides that, Florida's got like 16 or 18 electoral votes. I think Bumpers' charm and his personality is very effective, but the guy who's president's going to choose someone who can at least carry his own stake and bring something to the electoral college and win votes. I think it'll probably be someone from another state. If Bumpers are from a larger state, it'd be a different story.
Does Bumpers come to the AFL-CIO conventions here? Does he address them?
Well, yeah. It's, yeah, he has. Gets along very well. One is we have a tradition of only inviting governor candidates. He wanted to come to this convention. He has to come. Because he has to come, I invite him. There's a story behind it, but he did come and did very well. The guy who got the most response was Joseph Weston.
Who?
Joseph Weston.
Who is he?
He was just defeated on a Republican ticket for governor.
He's a newspaper editor.
Oh, yeah.
He said all the right things. Made a fine speech. Had delegates laughing, applauding, standing when he left. He got a better response than Bumper. But Bumper's been good.
Talking to your colleague, when you talk to your colleagues around the country, in the subject of the South and a Southern on the ticket, which usually means somebody at the number two spot comes up. Is this basically, are you reflecting basically a consensus opinion on that, that it's more likely to be asked you? Or?
No. I have talked to our COPE director, who probably knows more about Southern politics than any guy in the South.
Who is that?
His name is Dan Powell. You have to talk to him.
Where is he?
He's in Memphis.
What's his name, Dan Powell?
Daniel A. Powell. If you don't see him, you're making a mistake. I've talked to him about it. He covers six or seven southern states, all of which you're interested in, all the states that you're interested in. I haven't talked to him in the other state office. I guess Florida would think that their man's the best chance. And I think they're probably right.
Do you think Wallace's strength is increasing or decreasing? I don't realize labor in this state.
It's decreasing, but not by much. There have been some informal polls to Jackson and Kennedy do fairly well, depending on where. Wallace is third.
He's running behind Jackson and Kennedy, though?
Yeah, some places.
How about statewide? I mean,
well, these are polls that are taken by, Dan Powell has taken some polls of schools he's attended. And he keeps those figures. They have a world of information about it. He would have. But the last one I heard of was a machinist poll that was taken. This was taken of several southern states. They had a district meeting in Lake Charles. I think Jackson was first, Kennedy was second, and Wallace was third or fourth. They have to remember, though, that these are leadership people.
That's correct, right?
Yeah. I think Wallace gets on the ticket. He'll be very effective in this state. Get to say it. I've talked to some Wallace people who say that he may be getting a little bit too liberal. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, I think someone who is the cynical presidential candidate would pick Wallace without question. As a second man, if Wallace would take it. Forget asking. Presidential candidate, and I wanted to carry the South. I wouldn't go to. I was just making a hard, practical, cynical decision. I wouldn't go to Ashley or I wouldn't go to Bumper. I'd go to Wallace. hope it doesn't happen. And I don't think it will. No.
Wouldn't you run a risk if you did that, though, of losing a substantial black vote?
Wallace County is a black support in Alabama, you know.
He's got Charles Evers.
Yeah. I think he'd run that risk. But I think it would depend on who the presidential candidate is. I think he'd lose a black vote. Doesn't mean he'd lose the election. Depends on a lot of things. Depends on who the Republican nominee is and all the rest. The Democrats, I assume, will know who it is by then. I don't think it'll happen. No.
You find that, say, in the last 15 or 20 years that the state AFL-CIO puts more of its time and energy and resources into politics than it used to?
No.
No?
No. Well, of course, we're forced to put a lot of time in politics because we run every 2 years. Our election every 2 years. Also. So.
What do you get per month, per member?
23 cents.
That's higher than most states, isn't it?
It's
about median.
It's median.
Has it gone up recently?
Well, no. I would guess 6 months out of every 2 year period you spend in politics. A hard 6 months. Then you get like 3 months out of every 2 years spent in legislative activity. And then we do education work. I just finished taping 3 radio programs. I'm a moderator of a radio program. We just take 3 radio programs.